Well, we're privileged to have Brother Frank with us today, this morning, and the title of his talk is The Four Winds. The Four Winds. Look forward to your services, Brother Frank.
Thank you, Brother Lou. Dear brethren, it's a blessing to be with you again in convention. Must be about a third year in a row now in Salem, and we've been blessed by the spiritual food that we've received from these conventions here. We bring you the love and greetings from the brethren in Winnipeg. The whole ecclesia voted their love to be sent to the convention here. Sister Anne, my wife, and her mother, Sister Caroline Stockey, send their love also. Special love to the convention here. While in Saskatchewan, we met with my brother Morris and his wife, Sister Lillian Boychuk. They send their love to the convention here. Brother Albert and Virginia Stotsky send their love too to the convention. We saw them before we left. And Sister Ann Michalika, she sends her love. Brother Eugene is here with me. She sends her love to the convention here also. We stayed in Vernon, B.C. at the home of Brother Ken and Carm Furness on the way here. So they send their love to the brethren here as well. Sister Ruth and Brother Charlie Chambers, we phoned them while in Vancouver, and they send their love to the convention here too. And Brother Dan Sharkovich and Sister Esther, they send their love also as well. So brethren, we had a nice trip coming here, and it's a joy to be with the brethren in convention. Four winds found in Revelations. There are numerous scriptures that speak of the winds to us. But we're going to deal with the one that is found in Revelation, the seventh chapter, and beginning with the first verse. This scripture to us brings to our attention a period of time that would transpire in the process of our Lord's second presence and the times of restitution. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. The four winds are symbolic. You know, Revelation is a very highly symbolic language. These are not literal winds. They're not blowing on the literal earth, nor upon a literal sea, nor upon literal trees. But rather, it is a very highly symbolic statement in the book of Revelations. And we expect that by examining these symbols, we will come up with an understanding with many of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the winds. Because that's what Revelation is all about. It's to reveal these things to us, that we can come to a clear understanding as to what they mean. Now, what is the symbolic significance of winds? The Bible, along with general usage, many times uses that word. And in our present day usage, winds of trouble are frequently used, even by our media, the news media, the newspapers, the television, the radio. They seem to imply a turmoil. A turmoil that is illustrated by a wind. It's scriptural language, in other words, that is often used by the general society as a whole. But we can go a step further and understand just what these winds mean to us as far as the prophecies imply. In Jeremiah, the 25th chapter, in verse 32, is a very fitting scripture. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation,
and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And when we consider an evil going from nation to nation, and then a whirlwind being raised up from the coasts of the earth, we begin to realize it's a process that takes place. It's very evident that we are living in that time when this process is taking place. Every country in the world today, in some form or other, is in a warring condition. Whether it's a cold war, whether it's a hot war, this process has been going on since 1914. We see the blowing process has been taking place. And we can imagine this process will develop into what we call, or the Jeremiah calls, a whirlwind. It'll go from nation to nation and develop into a whirlwind as the final scene. Now, when we see a wind from the four corners of the earth, it is not just any wind. It's a very serious one. It pictures wars. Brother Russell pointed that to us very clearly. It pictures wars. And we hope to look at some of Brother Russell's quotations and writings regarding these winds in volume 3 on page 225 and also on page 230. Brother Russell says here, "All the special servants of God, having by that time been sealed in their foreheads, given an intellectual appreciation of God's plan," that's in brackets, he gives that explanation of what it means to be sealed in their foreheads, "given an intellectual appreciation of God's plan, the four winds will be loosed and will produce the great whirlwind of trouble, in the midst of which the remnant of the Elijah class will be changed and exalted to kingdom glory." We can see a process that Brother Russell saw that would begin, progress, and the final, ultimate conclusion of it. Then on page 230, he says, "When our work is done, and that night closes in around us, we may expect not only to hear and to feel the rising winds, which will culminate in a wild hurricane of human passion, a whirlwind of trouble. Then, having finished our appointed work, it will be our part to stand patiently until our change comes." Now, you notice what Brother Russell says here. We expect not only to hear and to feel the rising winds. Have we been feeling the rising winds? We certainly have, brethren. We have seen, we have felt them, we've heard them. As Brother Russell points out in this statement in Volume 3. In reprint 48:22, he brings out the thought how these will culminate in a hurricane. They will come together and constitute a whirlwind, come together and make a whirlwind, showing that it, in these forces which come into play and which will eventuate in a final trouble, a great time of trouble. On January 1st, 1916, Brother Russell said in reprint 58:25, "Now, however, we have apparently reached the time when the Lord is saying, let loose the winds of strife." Let loose the winds of strife. January 1st, 1916. "These winds are blowing more and more," he says, "and eventually are to become a great whirlwind of trouble, as pictured in scriptures. I think in Jeremiah 30:23, he says, 'Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked.'" So here's a particular point in mind here. It will fall upon the head of the wicked. We know wars in the past affected generally mankind, the common man. But the heads of state were quite secure. They were very comfortable. They were the heads, the leaders. Common man had to fight the wars. But this scripture says that it's going to fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The heads of state, in other words. Many heads of state have fallen due to the winds of strife. No greater example is given to us than that of 1914, when all these kings lost their crowns due to the winds of strife. We've seen the present day heads of state fall also due to the winds of strife. People like Ceausescu, Shalvey Wren, and many others that have received their demise because of the winds of strife. So, when we look at that scripture again, hurt not the earth, what does it mean? What's the symbolical significance of earth? Well, Pastor Russell said in 48:22, he stated it referred to organized human society. We've seen a great change in earth society, or you might say an order-loving society, as counter-distinct to a restless sea. We've seen an order-loving society that prevailed prior to 1914. It was a society that yielded to the commands of the heads of state. It was a society that did not reject or rebel against the orders of the day. It was an order-loving society. We saw a religious society that prevailed, where those followed like sheep follow the shepherd without question. Order-loving society. We know the sea represents a disorganized, restless masses of society. The sea is a symbol of the masses of the people in a restless, unstable condition, just as the earth represents a social order. And as a mountain represents the kingdom of the present time. So in contrasting earth and sea, one represents order-loving society and the other dissatisfied revolutionary elements. So now we see we're dealing with winds. And they hold back the winds so they don't affect these until they begin to affect them. We read in Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest were the whore set it are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. These are calm waters. When that system committed fornication with the kings of the earth, the waters were calm. People were not restless. And this is what Revelator is telling us. They are under control. Yet it's this people which thou sawest represented in the sea. When you have a sea that is restless and damaging the systems against the mountains, it is consequently an era in which winds of strife have developed. It's an era in which we are living. The masses have become enlightened. They are entirely reckless, so to speak. They have definite designs. Take a look at South Africa. They have definite designs. They're pursuing a goal which they want to attain. They're restless. They have intentions. So a sea here, we know, is an enlightened mass which causes them to dash back and forth. And we've seen the dashing process going on and on. As far as the trees are concerned, the Bible, well, establishes from time to time, trees represent people. They represent nations also. They represent individuals. They also represent saints, Brother Russell points out. They also represent the household of faith in the kingdom. They represent people clapping their hands. They are joyful and rejoicing in the wonderful establishment of Christ's kingdom in full power and glory. So we see trees have various representations for us in the scriptures. And therefore, we can see that these trees would be affected also by the winds of strife. We could ask also the question, if the winds represent war, could we say that the established order, loving society has not experienced any war? Could we ask, has the restless sea class experienced no effect of any war? Has the tree class, when we apply it to the believers class, have the brethren not experienced any hurt because of the wars that have occurred since 1914 and on? The answer is yes, of course. As far as our spiritual welfare, we know we are to remain firm and strong in that aspect. But certainly the effects of the war have affected the brethren, and they have affected various segments of society since that time. Then we have to agree that the loosening of these winds has taken place. Well, let's look at some of the scriptures or some of the Brother Russell's writings about this. First of all, we'd like to point out the Apostle Peter is also making the point that the heavens are affected here as well. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, he says in 2 Peter 3:10, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And also in Haggai, the second chapter, verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Just showing here how the Revelator brings this out. Apostle Peter supports that thought very much, which society will develop into a great conflagration. And just like you create a commotion when you send anything through the air, it creates a commotion of the air itself. And just like that stone that hit in 1914, it created a furor, and it's going to continue until all facets of society are removed that are not in according of the Lord's plan and purposes. When you think of war, we think of the First World War. We can ask, why was it called World War I? Was there any other war that was called a world war before that? No. That was the first war that was called a world war, because it was the first world war in human history. There never was a global conflict ever before, and that was but the beginning. There were things to follow. In reprint, 5469, on June the 1st, 1914, Brother Russell, quoting Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, he says, note this carefully, the winds of the earth referred to here are, of course, symbolic. The thought is that the winds from the four quarters, the north, east, south, and west, are being held back, and that when the restraint is withdrawn, they will rush together, and result will be whirlwind. Certain scriptures tell of a whirlwind that will be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the scriptures he cites here are Jeremiah 23:19, 25:32 and 33, Jeremiah 30, verse 23 and 24. You notice in this article, June 1st, 1914, the winds are not loosed yet. They're not loose. But look at reprint 5715, June 15th, 1915. What's the subheading? Winds of war let loose. That's the subheading. And he says, how plainly now we can see what we saw last distinctly in the past. That the winds of war have been held back for approximately 40 years to give opportunity for the sealing of the servants of God in their foreheads, for the spread of true Bible study all over the world, in all languages. The opportunity for the sealing process to take place. What did he mean here? Sealed and all gone beyond the veil? No. The sealing process here meant the intellectual knowledge of God's plans and purposes to be established within that period of time very firmly. That the 144,000 was always a number that had been called out since 1881. And they had continued. The sealing process was there. And there were 144,000 sealed. Can you lose your sealing? You sure can. And there were those who lost that sealing. And there were those who immediately replaced them. Immediately replaced them. And there were always 144,000 sealed throughout this period of time. Then the next one, on reprint 57:16. He says, instead, God merely lets loose the winds of war. He will no longer restrain. He will allow human selfishness to take its own unwise course. Since 1914, the world has been wrecked by at least 160 conventional wars, affecting at least 75 countries of the world, if not more. Millions of casualties, lives have been lost. Since the First World War, 1914, this world has never been free from war in one place or another. Destructive capability of weapons has occurred, increased a millionfold. We've lived in a world that is spending $1 million a minute on weapons. Only now they're talking about disarmament, about destroying some of their weapons. In sheer tonnage, the world has more explosives than it has food to feed its people. The nations of the world possess 4 tons of explosives for every man, woman, and child living on this earth. And you've never seen a more sophisticated technological war fought than the one that was fought in the Gulf recently against Iraq, with their smart bombs and missiles. Very sophisticated technology. So we can see how the process of wars have developed through this period of time, the winds of war, since 1914. In reprint 57:53, here Brother Russell refers to Elijah's vision in 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The renting of the mountains. Destruction of the kingdoms that existed prior to 1914. A great renting process took place. In reprint 57:53, this is August 15, 1915, Brother Russell gives the subheading, Fulfillment of the Vision Begun, Elijah's Vision. And he says, Bible students understand that these four great features of God's plan portrayed to Elijah have already begun a fulfillment. That the present European war, and he's talking about the 1914 war, he says the present European war is the letting loose of the four winds of heaven. The letting loose of the four winds of heaven. Winds of strife. It is unnecessary to say that no such war has ever before been. This is all Brother Russell's writing in reprint 57:53. Official reports show that more than 12 million of men have already been either killed, wounded, or captured in the army. Unquote. Then reprint 57:65. And this was given in September 15, 1915. Brother Russell says, the present great war, as everybody knows, has been held back for 40 years. The Lord's object is holding it back in the past has been to favor Bible study, the development of the sealing process of the saints. And he quotes Revelation 7, 1-3, which we read already. Then in reprint 58:63, Brother Russell quotes Scripture, 2 Peter 3:10, and he says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And then he says, in reading this prophecy, the majority of Christian people seem to think that there will be a literal burning up of the material heavens and earth. But as we have pointed out for many years, we think that there is a more logical explanation of this prophecy and that its fulfillment has already begun. Then he goes on to show the different figures the scriptures use to illustrate this. He says, the great time of trouble, which follows closely the second coming of Christ, will be an experience the like of which never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1. In one figure, the scriptures liken it to a tidal wave, carrying the mountains into the midst of the sea. He uses Psalms 46 as a reference. This pictures, he says, the governments of earth as being overwhelmed, swallowed up by the raging sea of human passion when the masses become fully aroused. In another figure, it is depicted as a mighty whirlwind. And he cites this reference, Isaiah 66:15, Jeremiah 4:13, Jeremiah 23:19 and 20, Jeremiah 30:23 and 24, and he says, sweeping everything before it. In a third figure, it is compared to the letting loose of the four winds of earth, and he uses the reference of Revelation 7:1-3, the four winds of heavens, and use the reference of Daniel 7:2, is still another picture. It is a great fire, and he uses 1 Kings 19:11-12 and Zephaniah 3:8. In other words, what Brother Russell is saying in this article, the fulfillment of this prophecy has already begun, as illustrated in these different figures. And what are those figures? The tidal wave, the whirlwind, the four winds of earth, the four winds of heaven, fire, the fire of God's jealousy. The last statement that Brother Russell made regarding the winds is given to us in reprint 6014 under the subheading, and this is the December 16th, 1916. And he says in that subheading, "The dark night already settling." According to the Bible, God foreknew the conditions of our day as we are now reviewing them, and in our text, which refers to Isaiah 21:11-12, "The morning cometh and the night also," he gives a key to the situation elsewhere in the scriptures made very plain. Through the prophet, God tells of the dark night coming after the morning dawn has been well ushered in, a dark storm, a cloud, just at sunrise. This dark hour is described in the prophecy of Daniel and also in that of our Lord Jesus to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Bible students see this great time of trouble already beginning in the letting loose of the winds of strife in Europe. In the light of the Bible, they perceive that the result of this present war will be the great weakening of the nations. He's talking about First World War. Of the governments of the earth, and increased knowledge and discontent amongst the people. How true this has been. Increased knowledge, discontent among the people. How Brother Russell foresaw this process to develop and take place. The next phase of the trouble, according to the Bible, he says, is to be the great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And he quotes Revelation 16:18. And this is the scripture that's given after the seventh plague is poured out. This is not a literal earthquake, but a symbolic one. Revolution, as Brother Russell says. Then the third phase of the calamity, the darkest of all, will be the symbolic fire of anarchy, which will utterly destroy our present civilization. And then in the midst of the most awful time of trouble, Messiah, the great king, will take his great power and will exercise it, with the result that the raging waves of the sea of human passion will all be quieted, the fires of anarchy will all be extinguished, and the reign of righteousness and peace will prevail. Peace, be still. Now, when we look what Brother Russell said in 1916, brethren, we've seen the development of all this taking place in our time. We have had 76 years more to look back upon his expectations, and we have seen the consequences of the literal war. We saw the outcome as it developed into revolutionary forces at work. We've seen the aspects of these revolutionary forces which took place after the war, and many revolutions have taken place since then. The earthquake process has been taking place. So we can see how Brother Russell saw that the four winds were loosed in his time. How much more so in our time can we say that this has taken place and has developed? There are many things that we could talk about. We've seen how literal earthquakes have transpired throughout this period of time. You probably have heard me say this before about the gradual increase of natural earthquake activity that's taken place. From 1901 to 1944, there were only three major earthquakes. From 1945 to 1954, there were 21 major earthquakes. From 1955 to 1964, there were 87 major earthquakes. 1965 to 1974, there were 136 major earthquakes. 1975 to 1991, there were 154 major earthquakes. A number of earthquakes, an increase that have been taking place, brethren, is overwhelming when we consider that this not only symbolically is taking place, but also literally has transpired. Many disastrous earthquakes, like the one in 1990 in Iran on June 21st, 40,000 people lost their lives. These have been just the more recent ones. China, 126 people lost their lives. These are all 1990. In Peru, 200 lives lost. In the Philippines, 1,650 lives lost. In 1991, Afghanistan, Pakistan, 1,200 lives lost. Peru, again, 39 lives lost. Costa Rica, the Panama, 95 lives lost. Republic of Georgia, the Soviet Union, which used to be the Soviet Union, 360 lives lost. India, 1,600 lives lost. Now, we can go on and on and on, and we can see the development that took place in this period of time. Not only a natural fulfillment, but we see a symbolical fulfillment of earthquakes, revolutions that transpired after the First World War. The recent revolutions in Russia. The process is going on, taking place. I know I could use another 45 minutes, but I'll have to close off here. And we see how Brother Russell saw Elijah's vision begun its fulfillment. The last phase corresponds, of course, to the anarchy. The spirit of anarchy has been prevalent throughout the world, very evident in our time. You brethren very well know what happened in Los Angeles. It happened in Toronto in Canada. It's happening in Europe, Bosnia, Herzegovina, and the various countries that are experiencing trouble. In South Africa, the uprising, the demonstrations, the riots. It's taking place. The vision is being fulfilled. And the result, of course, will be finally, eventually, it will culminate in a great whirlwind that will sweep away before Christ and His church, complete beyond the veil, takes control of all the affairs of the earth. And we will hear that voice, the still small voice, "Be still and know that I am God." It is the voice of God, the divine power, that will bring blessings to the world. The king will take his great power with, as a result, with his church, the mediatorial feature, and the fires of anarchy will be extinguished. It will be the voice of God's prophecy speaking to his people. Brethren, we can marvel at this picture when we go back all these years. And Brother Russell saw that in 1913, when the world was talking about that they have reached a time in which they would never again resort to war to settle their differences. That's what they said in 1913. They declared that as the International Peace Year. And here Brother Russell, standing alone, says, "We're going to see a whirlwind of anarchy sweep away all this system." And it took place. He stood alone. And how accurate he was. Thank you, brethren. Our time is up. We will not be able to continue further. So may the Lord add his blessings.
Well, thank you, Brother Frank. And I'm sure that we could listen to it for another 45 minutes. Appreciate those thoughts. It won't be a blessing when we do hear that still small voice. Before we ask Brother Frank to close, our next service is a baptismal, and it will be at the Judson Baptist Church, and this is out on Commercial Street. You'll go south the Sunnyside Road, and the first road to your right is Idlewood, and you go around an S curve, and up to the top of the S curve there's the Judson Baptist Church, and it's only about a mile from here, so it's very close. The service will be at 10:45, so we have a half an hour to get prepared for that. And also take your hymn books with you. And we will ask the candidates for the immersion to sit up in the front row. So, Brother Frank.
Gracious, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy name. We come before the throne of grace once again, giving Thee thanks for the privilege and opportunity we have of coming together in Thy name. We're thankful, dear Father, that was revealed to us the mystery of Thy will, that we are able to see the process and development of the full establishment of Thy kingdom. We ask Thy blessing further to guide and lead us in this narrow way. Grant us more of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may be faithful to our vows of consecration. We ask Thy blessing, especially upon the next service to follow, dear Father, those who will be giving their hearts to Thee, and bless this time that they may be further encouraged, dear Lord, to serve Thee and be able to be faithful in their walk in the narrow way. We ask forgiveness where we come short or whatever we have said or done amiss. We ask it all in the precious name of your Redeemer, Christ Jesus.